Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
So our key scripture for today can be found on the screen in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So just to give you a bit of background on the book of Hebrews, this was... The author of this book is actually unknown, but often attributed to Paul. But that's just, you know, a little bit of guesswork based on some of the attributes of the book. So we don't actually really know. But what we do know is the audience was the Jewish Christians of the day, and they were facing persecution. And then they were gathered together. They were talking about the teachings of Jesus, and they were encouraging one another and ensuring that they keep moving forward regardless of the crisis that they were facing in their persecution. So what is the topic of today? Well, the title of today's sermon is No Solo Disciple. What does that mean, you ask? Glad you asked. So it means that discipleship is a journey that can't be done alone. And in fact, I would say that if you are doing it alone, that perhaps you need to say, "God, not sure about this," because I would suggest that, can you say that you're a disciple if you were doing it by yourself? So what is discipleship? How do we define what discipleship is? If it's something we don't do alone, but we need to be connected with God, well, what does that actually mean? Well, here at Pneuma, we have a set of cultural values that we try to I'm a little bit nervous. So I haven't preached here before. We try to live our lives by these things. These things help guide us in decisions we make, in the behaviors that we do, and how we treat each other. But discipleship is so important that we have a value all of its own, that it's about discipleship. Who knows what that value is?
Discipleship. Making disciples is an optional.
Correct. Discipleship is not optional, because Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." And when Jesus says something, we know that we should do it, and it's important. So last month at Team Advance, you just heard we've got one coming up this week, and I do encourage you to go, because so many good things happen at Team Advance.
Right.
And we'd love to see you there. But so Pastor Sonia was sharing last Team Advance about our values here at West, our culture that we have here at West. And in that, she talked about some of these values, and she talked about discipleship not being optional. And she put the question out there, what does everybody think discipleship is? And here's some of the responses that we got. It's encouraging. It's walking alongside people. It's empowering, multiplying, equipping, leading, integrity, bonding, sharpening, and this one, next one is my favorite, golfing. That was yours, wasn't it, Levi? What has that got to do with discipleship, you say? Well, all of these things are involved. And they're really good answers. They're either attributes of discipleship or tools that we use to disciple others, hence the golfing. Is there an open invitation for people to come with you, Levi? But none of them actually define discipleship within themselves, and specifically biblical discipleship, because we know that that word is used in other contexts as well. So recently, well, a bit earlier this year, and I apologise to those at the beginning of the year that were in the pastoral pillar with me at Team Advance, because I did quote some of this article on talking about where we're going for the year. So you're going to hear it again. Sorry. but I read an article earlier this year in the Australian Christian Church's eMag by Andrew Grozer, who is a lecturer at Alpha Cruces University, and he's the state director for Victoria and Tasmania. And in it, he wrote about discipleship. And here's some of what he said about that. Sometimes discipleship is framed as personal growth or as becoming more disciplined in regular spiritual practices. But this too is not discipleship. And we just had that list that was describing this particular situation. Discipleship will no doubt include the personal and spiritual growth of an individual. One would hope to grow in personal capacity, maturity, and adeptness at practicing the spiritual disciplines written into the rich tradition of the Christian faith. They are, however, markers towards our destination, but not the destination itself. So what is that destination? What is that definition of discipleship? Well, the definition is Jesus. Unless our efforts encompasses that, we end up looking like and sounding like Jesus, living in his Father's kingdom, doing the Father's will, empowered by the Spirit, then we fall short. So what's the definition of discipleship? Looking and sounding like Jesus. Being more like him every day. It's a pretty powerful statement when you think about it. So what has that got to do with community then? Why can't we do that in our own living room? Why can't we do that watching sermons online? Because most of you are probably aware that you pretty much watch a sermon all day, Sunday, right into Monday until the time clicks over to the next day for everybody from so many different churches. But what's the difference between just listening to that, feeding our soul, but not actually going anywhere? Why is discipleship and community so linked? Well, here at Pneuma Church, we also have another value called, and we say that church is a covenant family. We have family lunch today because we want to hang out. And we call it family lunch because we're a family. And we serve each other. We bring food to share with each other. And there's purpose in that because we like hanging out with you. And sometimes life gets so busy. It's like Levi said before, there's distractions and we've got to get home and do this and do that. But we just want to take the time to just be a family. So that's why we do it. And there's lots of other things we do for that reason as well. So Covenant Family is a community of believers who worship, learn, and serve together. And just like any family, we have roles and responsibilities that differ from one person to the next. And we are brought together by what we have in common, and that is faith in Jesus. So I just wanted to, before I move on to the next thing, I wanted to share a personal testimony of how some of this has applied in my life. In, I think I just clicked over 30-something years of being a Christian in my life last month. Best decision I've ever made, but it hasn't come without its ups and downs. And it's hard. It's hard. And I really don't know how people do life without God. So a few years before COVID, so we all remember that time, everything's post-COVID. It's like line in the sand of time, isn't it? And I found myself in a position where I was burnt out. I had been serving in church like since day dot that I made a decision to follow Jesus. And it was all good and it was all fun. But I just found myself in a position where I was being cynical. I was in a transition between churches. And I don't even think I realized when I was transitioning that was probably a way to just go, I can't do this anymore. I thought I was just moving on to the next thing. And like I'd go to a bigger church so that I could, if I went at all, so that I could at least say, oh, I'm going to church, I'm doing all the right things, because I love God's church. It's something that I'm so passionate about. I love God's church. And I think a lot of you know that. Like, I will be here because that's what God's placed on my heart. I love family. I love being together. I love growing together. But at this point in time, I listen to the person up the front. If they were like hosting like Levi was just doing, I'd be like, oh yeah, whatever. They're just saying that. And, you know, it's not a really nice position to be in, but I couldn't stop myself. Anyway, so that went on for quite a while, and I thought, oh, it's okay, because I still love God, so it's all good. But I was in isolation. I wasn't sharing my life with anybody. I wasn't telling anybody that, because I knew that wasn't the right thing to do, and I didn't want anybody telling me that I couldn't behave like that. I didn't want anybody saying to me, oh, you need to come to this, and you need to do that, and change, and I was like, no, forget that. I'm good with God. So shift down a line a little bit. I tried to start going to church because I felt that God was moving me on from that cynicism. I'm still there a little bit. I'm still really reluctant because, you know, I don't know if any of you have been burnt out, but, oh, my goodness, it just feels awful. And you're just like, oh, but if I say yes to doing something in church, am I going to feel this way again? Am I going to go through all of that again? And that was really hard to overcome. But then COVID hit. So part of me was like, hey, I get to just watch church online. I don't have to deal with this. It's all good. But honestly, that had an impact on me because I realized, especially that second year when we were locked down, that it's not good to be alone. It's not good to do life without people. And online just doesn't cut it. Really doesn't cut it. In fact, I would spend all day online for work. And when things come up socially at night, I'd be like, I am not staying on my computer. And so I cut out everything social as well because, like, it just reminded me of sitting at my desk working all day. And it's the only thing I had in my life at that time. Thank goodness I had something. Because I live by myself in an apartment, which is good when you're busy and you're socializing, but not good when you can't see anybody. So anyway, fast forward to make it really quick. We get to February 2022, well, January 2022, really, and a friend of mine, it was Jane, actually, so you all know Jane, right? She said, why don't you come to this vision day with me? Because like we were going to church a little bit together in that little bit of time before lockdowns, and she said, why don't you come? Now, she probably saw all the things I was struggling with. Well, whatever reason, she said, why don't you come? And I went, okay. So back then, it was a whole vision weekend, so you'd go to city on the Saturday and then locally on the Sunday we'd talk about it. So I went to the city location early February, and guess who I met first? Pastor Dave and Pastor Sonia. They were greeting at the door. I don't know, I think anybody else may not have had the same impact on me. It's definitely a God thing that you guys were on that door. And they didn't necessarily, you know, they were just being themselves, like we all see, just welcoming and really genuine in greeting. And for the first time in a long time, I didn't have a cynical thought when that happened. And I went, oh, hello. Like, I thought, oh, isn't this great? And you know, I enjoyed the whole day. I enjoyed getting to know some people. And so anyway, like, I went home and I went, oh, should I go back to the church that I was at previous to COVID or not? And, you know, there was all sorts of reasons to debate that. And those who've been around for a long time will know that the services were on a Sunday afternoon for a little while. And then they were moving a bit later in February to early morning. And that's when I decided to visit. Not with the intention. I didn't think that I'd be coming here or anything like that on a regular basis. 4 years later. but you know what it is? Like, from that day onwards when I made the decision, I stayed here. And that's because in the context of discipleship and community, that's what I got. I got people who didn't say, you were wrong, you were right. I have people who walked with me, listened to what I was willing to share. And there's still so much of my story that I haven't shared. I think you know that. It's this one. And but it doesn't matter anymore. It's irrelevant because we're moving forward. And what everybody did around me was they helped me clear the obstacles that were in front of me that were hindering me seeing Jesus and walking towards him. And that's exactly how discipleship should work out. And we cannot do that at home in our own lounge rooms. We can love God, but all sorts of things can happen when we just stay alone. So what's another reason why we should have discipleship in our community, in our covenant family? Well, it's because Jesus modeled it for us. And we know that if Jesus did something in his life, it was very intentional. It was what he wanted people to see and do and copy, basically. Yeah. And so we know that one of the things that Jesus did is he connected. He understood that discipleship is relational. And how did he do that? Well, he's part of the Trinity, isn't he? He's already got this three relationship happening. God is relational within himself. The word disciple comes from the Latin word discipulus. I think that's how you say it. It's not that different to disciple, meaning learner or follower. A disciple learns by imitating, serving, and being guided, usually by a teacher like Jesus, and within a community of fellow learners. That's you and me. What other relationships did Jesus have? Well, he had the 12 disciples. He had his besties, his three besties, Peter, James, and John. And they got to be with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were with him in the Garden of Eden and many other occasions, just learning from Jesus, learning how things are, even though at that point they didn't even fully understand everything Jesus was saying. But they went with him. They followed him. They imitated him. They learnt from him. All the things that I was just saying that discipleship is and what a disciple does. But he also had other followers, larger groups, and he had women like Mary and Martha, who he was connected with. There was Joanna and Susanna, who, if you can read about them in Luke 8, and they financially supported Jesus and they ministered with him. And then he sent out the 72 and he sent them out in pairs, not to be alone. You know, in Genesis, In Genesis, it says it's not good for man to be alone. And we often think, oh, that's about adding, you know, giving you a wife or a husband. And it's that. But it's also, it's just not good to be alone, full stop, regardless of your relationship status. So Jesus connected. He went into people's homes. He ate with the tax collectors, with the Pharisees, with the marginalized. He used meals as a time to teach, heal, and fellowship. Table fellowship meant belonging. So you can see there's a pattern here that Jesus was displaying of how you do life and you do it with people. And using all of those opportunities for them to connect with the Father. Jesus also modeled community. Faith and formation will not happen solo. It happens in a community. And you say, my testimony, that would not have happened if I decided to stay home and not be in a position to allow people to help me through from where I was to where I needed to be. So Jesus' life and ministry was deeply rooted in community and wasn't just theory. In our key scripture, it says there's a call to community. It highlights the necessity of communal worship and fellowship. It says, do not neglect meeting together. Do not neglect meeting together. And that's a very strong statement. And that's because it's important. And, you know, when the Jewish people then were facing their persecution, if they didn't continue meeting together, they probably would have gone back to Judaism. And that just was, you know, that would not have done. That means they would not have drawn closer to Jesus. They would not have known all of that they knew. And they would not have continued in the church. Probably wouldn't look like it did now. The consequences of them going backwards because they decided not to meet together were great. That's how important discipleship in community is. So don't go backwards. Don't give up. You know, and nothing has changed in our day when we're going through things. It's so tempting to give up. It's so tempting to do what I did and just stay away. And if you go, not listen. You can even be sitting in here today and still be in isolation. Withdrawing yourself from people around you, not listening to the people around you. And using your hurt and the circumstances of your life to guide what's going on instead of letting Jesus guide what's going on in your life. And as I said, as someone has been through that, it's not nice. And I'd much rather be on this side of that part of the journey. We have seasons where we hurt. We do have seasons. And I'm not trying to say that what you're feeling is not valid, because it is so valid. But don't do it alone. Yeah. Go on the journey with other people. And like me, they'll help you clear away the obstacles between you and where you need to be. You know, in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. And, you know, that's what the early church did. They were there. They did everything together. They walked together. They worked together. They ate together and made sure that people were looked after around them. Sounds like a little bit like our church, really, doesn't it? People need something. Let's make some meals. Yeah. Oh, you need a babysitter? Oh, I can do that for you. You know, like, what would we do with our community? So you cannot be a solo disciple. Personal transformation and accountability require shared life conversation, encouragement, and mutual support. No one matures alone. What else does Jesus do to demonstrate and model discipleship in community? Well, he calls us higher because isolation stunts spiritual growth. Whether in Christianity, other spiritual paths, or even in secular mentorship, personal transformation and accountability require shared life. Conversation, correction, encouragement, and mutual support. And as I said before, no one matures alone. When we are going through things, like I mentioned before, our tendency, or my tendency, is to withdraw from what's going on in life. And it's almost like you can't help it. You're just like, this is just far too much. It's too overwhelming and I'm going to withdraw. I don't know why we do that, but that's what our natural tendency is. And the problem is that that's not the right decision to make. Because when I do, you know what happens? I get stuck in my head. I convince myself that the world is against me. I convince myself that people are actually out to hurt me more. And it might sound really strange. And when you speak it out loud like that, it's like, oh my goodness, how ridiculous is that? They're probably not giving me a second thought, to be honest. But that's how you start thinking. You start thinking and you're believing all the stuff that goes around and around and around in your head. And that just ends up spiraling. And so you can find yourself in a really low place in life when you do that. And I would really dearly love it if no person here ever went there. But the other thing that also happens is that we start convincing ourselves that certain behaviours are okay too. We go, oh, yeah, I think that's okay. I feel okay about that. So that must be God telling me that I can do this or I can do that. Even though we haven't consulted the Word of God and we haven't received counsel from anybody else. But now we convince ourselves that it's okay, God said. But has he? I don't know. That's up to you to work out. So you can see that when we're isolated, we can get ourselves into some strife, into some trouble that's hard to pull ourselves away from. And what's difficult about that is that we actually don't have to. We don't have to go there, but we do that to ourselves. And we can't blame that on anybody else because we make the choice to go there ourselves. There might be reasons why we do that, but we still make the choice, and that's not anybody but me. He says in verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. This passage implies deliberate thought and attention. It's not a casual suggestion, but a serious call to action, active encouragement and stimulation. You know, we are called to call out, to bring out the gold in people. And that can't happen in isolation. When we're in groups, we see things in people, we encourage people, we say, hey, you're really good at that. Or what's God saying about that? All of those things that bring us closer to Jesus and what he's asked us to do while we walk this earth. We learn from one another and we lift each other up. Just like I'm standing here today going, how did that happen? How am I standing right here sharing with you and you're looking at me and I'm just like, wow, God, I hope you're speaking to people. And this is like this monologue going on in my head at the same time. But what it is that I've submitted to God and his plan and I've submitted to the leadership of this church as well. And we pray together, we talk together and we do things like that. And you get to do marvelous things, whatever that looks like. That doesn't matter if you're up here catching people when we're praying for them, whether you're getting family lunch ready, serving tea, coffee. Like, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If that is what God has called you to do, then that is excellent. That means that you are walking out everything that God requires of you. Because we are called to serve each other. We learn and we unlearn things in a covenant family. We all have pre-being a Christian, pre-being a follower of Christ, or even if you think you've been a follower of Jesus your whole life because that's how you grew up, we still have these cultures in our family that we need to unlearn because that's not kingdom culture. We have things that we never learnt. You know, for example, I didn't really learn how to deal with conflict very well growing up. Conflict meant you held a grudge. Conflict meant that we didn't speak to each other for a while. Conflict meant that, well, eventually I need you, so we'll just kind of pretend that didn't happen and we move on. But it did, and the damage was done. And when I started coming to church all those years ago here, a previous church that I was involved in for a very long time, being part of a covenant family meant that I got to see and I witnessed other people arguing and yet moving past it and being okay because conflict wasn't necessarily a bad thing. So all of these practical things that we can learn that are about the kingdom of God and the culture that God wants us to live by, not about what we grew up with. Not everything that we grew up with was bad necessarily, but it is a kingdom culture. And that's what we learn in a covenant family. In isolation, you won't learn that. You know, I read a quote earlier this week by Bill Johnson, who heads up Bethel Church, and he said, your calling grows in the soil of the church. Well, what is our calling? To be more like Jesus. And in that, in our roles and responsibilities as a member of the body of Christ, we get to do that in different ways. But that happens in that soil that's called the church. We get our roots grow deeper, they get watered, they get nurtured, they get fertilized, and then we get to blossom. We grow flowers and leaves and we stay green. A plant can't do that. As soon as you pick a flower off a plant, then it slowly starts to die. I know that's not a really nice image because we all love flowers, but they do because they're not connected to their source anymore. They're not getting watered, they're not getting fertilized, then they're not getting all the sun they need. All of this stuff that happens when we stay connected in that soil that's the church and our covenant family that God has put us in. We get to be challenged and we get to be the challenger. Discipleship goes both ways. You know, Jesus had the 12, as we were talking about before, and, you know, I bet you didn't realize that that was really a life group. Jesus started life groups with his 12. He taught them. They encouraged each other. He corrected them. You know, there's that line that we all know when he says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And we're like, oh, that's a bit harsh. But, you know, I'm not going to get into the context of that. But that's when Jesus was correcting. He was challenging their behavior. But they did things for each other. And that's what we do in the context of a life group. We get to know each other. Do you know, I'm just going to take a moment to talk about our life groups. We have incredible life groups here at West. We have an incredible life group leaders who open their homes on a regular basis to people, but not just the nights that and the weeks that we say, oh, this is a life group night. They open their homes up like all the time. Like I see things that come up on Facebook and you know, I say, oh, look, Gary and Burns have got people over again and they're hanging out and they're eating together and, oh, look, they've gone away together. And I just go, wow, I love that. And they're not the only group. Like, all of the groups do that. They do life together. And what happens when you do life together? That means that you can receive correction because you know the person loves you. It means you can give correction because you love them. And that's just reflecting more of Jesus and how your life reflects the way Jesus lived his life. So if you were interested in joining a life group, come see me afterwards. Because it's really awesome. If you know one of the life group leaders, have a chat with them. Have a chat with people who go to life groups, and I'm sure that they would recommend it. Can I tell you, because that is actually where all the pastoral care happens as well, where all the nurturing happens, where people make meals for each other. Sometimes we just hear about things after it's done, right? Because it gets done by the life group, because that's the connection. It goes deeper than just turning up here on Sunday. Can I say, just turning up on Sunday is a great start. But it's not enough. I'll get to that next point. So a sheep that strays is one the wolf eats. And we don't want that. We can't be called higher if we're alone and isolated. If I can have the band back up, that'd be great. So what else does Jesus do? He extends an invitation to discipleship. Again, our text is, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Jesus invites us to go deeper with him. He invites us to go on a journey of trust with him and with others. His plans are good, but we have to trust him. We have to take a step toward him. And the invitation is an open invitation that doesn't close. Do you know, if you found yourself in a place where it's hard because things that have happened to you in the past are blocking you. Just like I said, there were things that were happening in my life or had happened. And it wasn't just the burnout. It was hurt by leaders in the church. It's going to happen. If you come to church, you'll be offended. You'll get hurt. And I don't mean to belittle it, but it's just a reality because we're humans. I'm sure that I have done things to people and I didn't even realize. But Jesus says it's time. It's time to put that aside. It's time to say, I am not going to allow the things that have happened to me get in the way anymore, to block the way of me looking and sounding like Jesus. Because the world needs that. As you are aware, there's so much going on. The world needs more people who look and sound like Jesus. It needs an army. But the army looks a bit different to a traditional army. Our way of battle is praise and worship. Our way of battle is love and grace. Our way of battle is including people. We have like the most inclusive, exclusive club ever in church. Because anybody is welcome. And it's quite simple to enter. But we complicate it by all the stuff that we put around what Jesus just simply says, come to me. And that's all he's saying today. is saying no matter where your starting point is right now today, if you find yourself wanting to isolate and not really connect with people, if you're like looking at the time saying, it's a bit after 12, I need to get home, like I've been here enough, I'm not good with people, I've been here like a couple of hours already, well, he wants to speak to you and invite you in today. If you've got things that have hurt you in the past, like I did, like many here I'm sure have, well, I'm not just sure, I know have. Dan here says, hey, step over the threshold, step to the other side of those blockers, because he wants to hang out with you. He wants to take you forward. He wants to call you up because he sees that gold in you. Do you know that we are made in the image of God? And do you know why we are good, why God calls us good? Because of Jesus. He sees us through the eyes of Jesus, and Jesus was perfect. So we are as white and as pure as snow as a result. And so nothing that has happened to us can hinder us from God's love. But we just have to take that step towards Jesus. Or if your starting point is, I don't even know, I was invited here by a friend and I haven't ever thought about Jesus and what that means to me. Well, today is also a day you can make a decision to step forward. Whatever your starting point is today, you can go deeper. You can go deeper. If you'd like to stand with me. So for those who've been in church for a while, whether that's a couple of months, a couple of years, 20 odd years, 30 odd years like me, but you've got things that are holding you back and you know that, whatever that is, at this point in time, that's between you and God. As we're standing here, say, God, what is it? Is there something that's hindering me from moving forward? Is there something that I need to move beyond? Because they're just distractions. Honestly, they're just distractions and keeping us away from all that God has for us. And if that's you today and you want to make a step forward, I just ask that you raise your hand. Let's give it a few moments to allow God to speak to you. The Lord has plans for you. They're good. They're not bad.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.